everybody. Welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 468. I am your host, Mark, the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and joining me this week, as they always do, are your friends and mine. What are your names? Wow, my brain totally went blank there.
My name's
totally
Eric.
Totally went blank. Wow. Door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin, and Eric, the great one, the manager, the exalted one, whatever I decide this week,
is
Ardini. Hey, guys.
Hi, Mark. How you doing?
You ever been in the middle of a sentence and your brain just goes white typing paper? There's nothing there? That's what happened to me.
Yeah.
Probably. You know what?
It really sucks when it happens in meetings, though, I'll tell you what.
I'm glad it doesn't happen in meetings because if I'm speaking in a meeting, I'm straight up into a microphone and it's all being recorded and I don't want that happening. I'm honestly, most of the stuff's written in front of me. I just read it. So
that's even worse.
If I stop reading, yeah, then it's really bad. If I can't read all of a sudden.
So, but is the public record what you actually said or your prepared statement, or is it both?
The public record is what I write afterwards.
Okay.
That's my kind of thing. So yeah, I guess if I needed to in a pinch, I could write what I meant to say.
You can edit yourself.
Yeah. Okay, but I do live record everything and throw it on YouTube.
Okay, well, note to self, Eric has the power to rewrite history.
That's true. I am the city historian. Nice. And part of history this week with the city is that Comcast sucks and nobody could call our police or fire departments on the telephone for a few hours today. Twice. Well,
first off, the beginning of that is not breaking news. Okay, that's pretty much common knowledge. But excuse me? Fire and police could not be telephoned?
Correct. Yes. Comcast.
Does Comcast either provide your phone service?
Yeah. Comcast provides us with broadband and IP telephone service because the only other competition suddenly went out of business. And I don't know if it's because Comcast paid them to suddenly go out of business or I don't know why, but all of a sudden Comcast was the only game in town and we had like 1 month. All the businesses in town had 1 month to switch over. And they are pathetically horrible.
Because they have no reason to care, do they?
Currently, they don't.
Well, devil's advocate, maybe it's just taking them a while to staff up to support you?
That would be true if they didn't have two dozen workers in an office in our town that they shut down and moved an hour and a half away.
Oh, okay. Well,
the office was open for 20 years, and they shut it down. And
you can't get any POTS? Telephone service, plain old telephone.
Well, it's all our whole system is VoIP.
So you can't get copper telephone service.
I wasn't involved in any of the purchasing or signing of these agreements. All I know is prior to January 1st, when Comcast took over, we never had a problem. Since then, it's been unending problems, including twice today for 4 hours each. I give them the first one. The first one, we had a tornado warning. Everybody was, I was in this studio sheltering in place last night at 9 o'clock. So I'll give them that one. We could take a 4 hour outage because things are falling over. Trees are coming down.
Well, not fire and rescue. That's the point. It's fire and rescue. I mean,
this is not the 911 line. This is the non-emergency line that's not working. So there is still 911 calls going through. Because they have nothing to do with Comcast. I'm just saying, they're pathetic, you're right, Dora. I'm not telling anybody anything that they haven't already heard or don't already know on their own accords. But we have officially started Rock Falls FiberNet. We're going to have gigabit to the home by July. So sign up.
On a slightly related note, I was talking with a business today. I will withhold all names.
I don't pull no punches when it comes to Comcast.
I was speaking with a business today whose bandwidth for their entire business was 12 megabits down and 1 megabit up. And I thought, that would not support the 5 people in my household. How do you run a business on 12.1? Yeah. I don't know how. I don't even know how you do that.
Mark, that is what I ran my business on when I had my shop because I did not.
You were single use, right? Single user.
Just me. But, you know, I had a lot of downloading of ISOs and Windows updates and things like that going on. But that was what I sacrificed for because I wasn't going to go to Comcast for my business. I wasn't going to sign that 3-year agreement. I wasn't going to do it.
Well, this is Metro Atlanta. There are options.
Okay.
Well, I know. I mean, if the guy's maybe a business of two people, that might work, but anything more than two people,
yeah.
I can't see how anybody at his job can get anything done. Well, let's spin this, okay? Let's spin this like we're in D.C. On the bright side, none of his employees can leisurely browse Facebook on the company network.
Yeah, but the first one to fire up Pandora brings down the whole network.
True.
Yeah, and there's, you know, you don't have to worry about security flaws just flying in quickly in any way. Do they have a long-term contract with their ISP, or did you suggest that maybe they could?
I'm unwilling to give any more details to protect the guilty, but it just struck me as odd that in 2017 any business would be conducting, you know, business as usual with that kind of bandwidth.
I'm going to guess the guy ultimately who makes the decision, or gal, or female, or non-binary, who makes that decision is over a certain age group without being ageist, because now technically I don't think I can be ageist because I'm in my mid-40s. So I'm going to say I'm guessing that person is older and just doesn't comprehend. That's the only thing I can think of.
It's entirely possible.
I try to rationalize these things, but most of the time it just turns out stupidity or ignorance or neglect or just don't care.
Would their computers see any changes? I mean, are the computers' hardware upgraded enough that they would notice a speed increase of 25 megabits up and down? The
36 baud modem in the Windows XP boxes wouldn't notice.
Yeah. Jeez. Okay. Well, I'll ask the question. Do any of you guys have any new Android hardware or any new hardware like that you want to talk about?
I don't have any, but I did hear Amazon came out with some new stuff.
You mean the tablet with the on a stand that Mark said? Because I think that's pretty appropriate.
No, too. They came out with some new Kindle Fires, didn't they?
Oh no, I didn't see that.
I thought they did. That could be totally wrong. I don't know.
All right, so I have a request to the listening audience. It's not hardware, but it's actually related to an Android app. Imagine that. I have used for a while now an alarm clock app that launches Pandora to wake me up in the morning.
That's nice.
And it even has a gentle function, which means it starts muted and then gradually every 10 seconds increases the volume. But Pandora has changed the way they do things so that now music no longer starts to play when the app opens. It expects you to open the app and then push the play button.
Ooh.
Is anybody else noticing that? It seems to be a very recent update to Pandora that has changed that default behavior.
I never use Pandora.
Honestly, yeah, I'm not a Pandora person. I can ask my wife. She loves her Pandora. And when she was on Verizon, she would constantly get close to overages in her bandwidth because she listened to so much Pandora.
So, you know, I first found out in the worst way possible, in that the alarm clock launched, Pandora didn't play, and therefore I didn't wake up. And then, you know, I noticed I made backup alternative arrangements. I'm a very light sleeper. I just set it to vibrate as well, and the vibration of the phone is enough to wake me up. But for like the last week, it hasn't played. And then last night I was just playing with it. I realized when I launch Pandora or Google Play now, either of those requires me to interactively tap the play button before it starts playing. I assume that is so that they know you have your attention so they can serve you an ad. Just wondered if anybody else in the audience had that experience.
I've never seen Google Play do that, so I'm going to be interested to what people say.
Yeah, well, Google Play, I mean, it comes up, and it's not playing automatically. It, you know, I have to go find a playlist or, you know, my music or whatever every time.
I would expect it to just pick up where it last left off.
If it was, I don't know. I guess I don't pause it and come back much later.
Right. In Google Play, it gives you the option when you launch it. It has the button at the bottom to resume where you were last at, but it doesn't automatically play for me on any of my devices. I'm going to go with the same line you're going with, Mark, and I want someone to email us and explain to us, give us justification how Mark's logic was wrong last week, because I want to hear an argument of how he's wrong, how the new Amazon Echo with a screen is nothing more than a tablet, because I want to hear this. And the reason is, because we're going to get back into this exact same kind of discussion here very shortly. And please tell us how it's not just a tablet with a screen. AAA@podnuts.com. How is the new Amazon Echo device with a screen not just a tablet? Because I would love for it to be proven wrong, but I don't see how.
The only way I can see that it is not like an existing, say, a Kindle Fire, is that it has that always on listening and the Kindle Fire doesn't.
Right. It's probably got a little better camera, maybe.
Well, that to me is camera. One of those picking straws kind of thing. It doesn't really count.
So can I go back to my story on the new Kindles since we're there?
Yeah. So there is
new Fire 7, new Fire 8 HD, and a new Fire Kids version of 7 and 8 HDs. Well,
same prices or?
New Fire 7 is $49.99. New Fire 8 HD is $79.99. Yep. And the kids 7-inch is $99.99, and the kids 8-inch is $129.99, and they all have Alexa built in now. Well, I guess my old 8 had Alexa, but I'm not sure. Maybe the 7s didn't or something. They say it's thinner.
If Alexa's always listening, then you just proved my point.
Well, on mine, I have to hold down the supposedly, I have to hold down the home button for Alexa to come up. Both devices have a quad-core 1.3 gigahertz processor, 2-megapixel VGA front and rear cameras, dual-band Wi-Fi, Alexa voice assistant, which comes as a new feature for the tablets and sold in the UK. Amazon claims its new Fire models are more hard-wearing than Apple's iPads, even. They're thinner, so, I don't know.
I don't want thinner. I don't care about thinner. I don't think any in the public do either. I think only journalists care about thinner. Also, everyone keeps saying
and the eight,
Amazon.
The 8's a $10 price cut for the new one.
Gotcha. Okay. So they're around the same price, and that's fair. If you need a tablet, I still think they're among the best bang for the buck kind of value. But people keep saying Amazon is running away with the in-home AI, which, of course, it's not AI. If you go back to look at the definition of AI, we are nowhere even close to AI, but I digress. That they're running away with the in-home voice assistant thing. They are not selling. They're selling the most. That doesn't mean they're winning. That just means nobody's doing great. And they're the only ones who are selling more than the others. I've literally went around work and I've asked 40 plus people. One has an Amazon Echo. Two people had a Google Home.
Do you have either of them?
Hell to the no. Okay,
Mark, do you have either of them, Mark?
Why would I have either one of them? I have a phone. I cannot find anything worth my time that my phone cannot do that those things can do.
Do you have any, Mark?
No, and for the same reason as Door does. I have Google on my phone, and I can speak to my phone, and I've got all I need.
I've got the Google Home, and I never use it, really. I mean, for a Bluetooth speaker, it's pretty good for its size. That's it, though. I mean, I rarely ever use it now.
Right. Yeah, that's the only difference to me between my phone and those devices is those devices can play music for the family.
Yeah, and they whatever. Can't do many other things.
Well, yeah, okay. Now I'm going to ease a rough corner, knee-jerking, neck-injuring towards Google I.O. Okay, Google I.O. just started. People are flipping out and freaking out, going crazy. I mean, this is worse than Apple fanboyism is all the stuff I'm hearing. And yes, I'm saying it like that. Number one, first and foremost, everyone is screaming about the new fact that Google Home can make phone calls. Okay, so can my phone. I still don't see anything that it can do. Fine, they brought one more feature from a phone over to it.
Okay, well, I will play the advocate of the devil. Anyway, I have two people in my house who have dumb phones. And one person, I'm the only one with a smartphone in my house. So as long as they have a Google Voice number, and now the Echo or the Google Home can recognize people separately, they could make phone calls over that where they wouldn't be able to do it by voice with their dumb phones. And then my one child who has no phone could do it.
I know, but Eric, it's almost as annoying as the person walking down the street with their phone 2 feet from their head with the speakerphone on, talking into it, walking down the road.
Yeah.
Just put a phone up to your frigging ear and talk. I don't want to hear your conversation.
Yeah, it would only be good if a telemarketer could call you on your Google Home, and then you could have that conversation, and the whole family could gather around and and join in the fun.
To me, it's only good for a bachelor or someone living by themselves to make phone calls on a device.
I guess
like
so.
That.
Yeah,
it is the most ridiculous feature that journalists will not stop going gaga over.
If you got two hands,
I haven't seen anybody say that you can receive incoming calls. You can make outgoing calls.
Yes, you can. It basically can get a phone number. You can basically transfer a phone number over to it, like your Google Voice number. How you can transfer that around, so you can receive calls on it. The biggest difference between that and the Amazon ecosystem is the Amazon ecosystem can make phone calls to other Amazon ecosystem devices, just like a phone call, using that Amazon conferencing thing that no one in the world uses except for Jeff Bezos and maybe five other people. The Google Home one piggybacks on real phone numbers because, don't forget, Google bought the company, then turned it into Google Voice.
Grand Central.
And I think they're just piggybacking on that 10-year-old technology.
Right.
So congratulations, the device that looks like a bad vase can now do what you can already do on a phone.
It looks like an Airwick, but I can see the ad already where they're going to have somebody just, you know, hands deep into a recipe, you know, and that's honestly, that's the only, I'm with you, Dor. That's the only use case is when you're just, you got so much food that you're trying to deal with it, you know, and cooking this meal up for your family that you can talk on the phone through it.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't
get that. Which you could also do with a phone.
Gotcha. I believe it can be a nicety in certain situations. But, I mean, I cooked a pot roast tonight. I went in and got a butter knife because I was too lazy to go the extra 3 feet to get a steak knife, and it worked just fine. I'm okay with cleaning my hands off, picking up my phone, and making a call.
Okay. I haven't watched Google I.O. yet. Did they come out with the new Nexus 7?
I don't believe they announced a tablet, but to move on to more completely useless things, they did announce Daydream 2.0, which is literally, from everything I gather, a phone built in to a VR visor without a phone antenna built into it. That's all it is. There's nothing spectacular about that damn device.
How much is that? Any idea?
It doesn't matter what it is. Okay, We're at an archery range, and there's a moving target, and it's coming from the right going to the left, and there's a certain time when it's visible and you can hit it. That's VR. That's popularity of VR. That's the successfulness of VR. The target is already halfway past us. Everything I see everyone doing is not causing even close to mass adoption. This device can come out tomorrow for $60. Nobody is going to say this year for Christmas, I have to have Daydream 2 for Christmas, Dad.
For $60?
This is it isn't going to be
$60, I would buy it.
But doesn't matter. With Google's latest pricing structure, it's going to be more Apple-like. It's going to be almost $200. Okay, let's just get real. If VR does not hit, if the match does not strike and catch flame very soon, my logic is well under 18 months. Once again, we're going to go through another cycle because this is like the third or fourth iteration people trying to do VR, and it's just going to fade away and die, just like 3D televisions, just like curved televisions. Stupid, useless technology to get journalists all excited and hippy-dippy about. This Daydream VR is just a phone without a phone antenna, from everything I gather. Sure, it has good resolution. So do some phones.
Well, Dor, to counter your, get off my lawn attitude, this to me is indicative of a mature market, and that's a good thing. It's akin to the 1957 Bel Air. Everybody already had a car. They didn't need a new car. So let's just put fins on a car and make people want to get it. What we're doing now is we're just putting fins on things. We have reached the point where AI, such as it is, digital assistants, we'll go with that, are commonplace. The market is saturated with them. And now we're just trying to put fins on the Bel Air. It's a little annoying from that, you know, listening to marketing speak and journalists gush about it. But the fact is journalists don't have anything else to write about. And that's a good thing. It means that the market is stable and saturated, and it's here to stay.
Well, I know, but now what I worry about this market is competition, like companies merging, competition reducing, and then having nothing but big companies left dictating the future technology for another period of time. Because this has happened before, it's going to happen again. I don't see VR being the tech that spawns new companies, that spawns innovation, that gets literal general consumers excited. Not yet. I'm not seeing it. I mean, the biggest thing to me to come out of I.O. that I think is cool is they opened up the Android Instant App SDK.
That
shouldn't be the biggest news, because they showed that last frigging year, for God's sake.
Well, it is a developers conference. Let's not lose sight of that. It's not a consumer conference.
I got to say, VR is very niche, but for those who are into it, there's a lot of content and a lot to offer there. I mean, I try to dip my toes. I mean, now that I've got Samsung Gear VR, I've got a lot of access to a lot of different apps that I wouldn't have had before. And there are some genuinely fun, I mean, I'll bring one later, a fun game that is only available VR. It works perfectly. It's neat. It's cool. It's a different thing that you just don't get if you never do the VR. You would never see it.
But does it cause your phone to extremely overheat? Can you not play it for more than 20, 30 minutes because your battery will go dead, kind of thing? Or you'll be too, because I honestly believe like 2-hour movies, you're not going to be able to do with VR.
It's just too. I don't play any game for over 20 minutes anyway. And my phone, I mean, Oculus, the Oculus thing on this phone always tells me it's overheating within 3 minutes. Right. But I still play it anyway. I just acknowledge and go on. I don't stop playing, and I don't really notice the performance hit, even though I know there is one. It's not too bad.
Well, and to be honest, that's the most I can hope for this Daydream 2.0 thing, is it's really comfortable. The lag is not there. The battery will last for an hour, and it is the kind of thing that will not overheat or become so hot you can barely touch it. That's the best I can hope for this. That shouldn't be what I'm saying. What I should be saying is they should open up tool sets and tool change and workflows for content developers to make outstanding content for Daydream VR.
Right, but if they get the hardware first and say it's got, I don't know what the hardware is, but I just assume that it has not a whole lot of CPU, but tons of GPU, and it's built specifically for doing VR and it's optimized for it. Then the development kits and things can come along for that.
Well, that's almost Bill Gates' philosophy back in the 80s. That's, you can't rely, especially in this day and age, you can't rely on other people to do stuff for you. They need to do it. They need to come out with these kits. They need to make, and the example I use is honestly Nintendo Switch. Underpowered, you know, smaller screen, less teraflops, petaflops, less resolution, less everything, yet it's selling like gangbusters.
Now, okay, since you brought up the Nintendo Switch, I poll my teenagers about this probably every 2 weeks at least, and I ask them. I mean, one of them is heavily entrenched in iPod and iOS. The other one's heavily entrenched in Xbox One, but they all go to school with the other kids, and I ask them. I go, so who's got the Nintendo Switch? How many of your friends are talking about it? Nobody is talking. This is the Midwest, so there, that's a thing. I don't see it. It's not huge here.
Well, I'll just say they can't keep it in stores. It's selling out in hours when it gets into places, not days. It's selling faster than the latest iteration of home console units than they sold. So I don't know how much
that's all Nintendo marketing too. Nintendo learned a long time ago that if you only build 100,000 units and you sell out of them really quickly.
No, that is a extreme fallacy. Maybe. If you take a look, the last Sony console, the last big one, the PS4, they couldn't produce as many as Nintendo Switches are being made right now. And nobody said, well, Sony's making false things by making it more on demand than they need to be because they can't.
I've always said that it's all about we in the modern era, we can manufacture things as quickly as we want to. Anytime there's a shortage of anything, it's an artificial shortage in tech.
And maybe maybe that's the reason why it's not here, but it's not the thing at all here.
When you sell more than, I think it was 2.6 million in 30 days, it's hard to keep up with demand. It really is. I mean, you know, law of diminishing returns. If they have a high quality of standard that they need to adhere to in the manufacturing process, they cannot just have anybody build these. And there's only so many manufacturing plants around the world that can do this kind of stuff.
Does it have UI and an assistant?
No, by design, there actually looks like they're going to offload all of the voice chat type functions to your smartphone or tablet.
Oh.
And people are going flippo crazy over that. But I mean, there's still plenty of days left on Google I/O. I want to see more stuff. This is a billion-dollar company that have done some really great things, and I really want them to do more. I expect more out of a company like this. I want them to put Google's, you know, I want Google to put Apple's back against the wall and Microsoft's back against the wall and force them to perform better as well.
Yeah.
Well, and the market they've chosen to pursue is the premium hardware market, which doesn't seem like a good play to me. They're trying to out-Apple Apple.
And Samsung.
Yeah, and I don't know if they could. That is so hard to
do. My home is desperately in need of a new Pixel 7 or Nexus 7 at not a huge premium price because, you know, my wife, she likes the Nexus 7. We all like the Nexus 7. Charger port don't work anymore. We have to do the, you know, the wireless charging. It's just beat up and broke down. But you can't. I'm not going to go out and buy another one. You know, I'm not going to buy a four-year-old Nexus 7.
Right. Well, I really hope they announce a new tablet. Mm-hmm. But I'll say, I don't know, Eric.
It might be over for
tablets
that.
Tablets are not selling. I know, but tablets aren't selling.
But for my wife, who has a dumb phone, you know, it's a good thing. But I don't know.
Well, you got to look at why they're not selling. They're not selling because the market is saturated. Everybody who wants a tablet has a tablet. That's why they're not selling.
Well, add a lot of the people I know that bought tablets said they don't use it. So they don't need a new tablet. I mean, everyone got a tablet because they thought it was the thing to get. Honestly, for a couch computer device, you know, the wife's watching a movie and she wants to look up on IMDb or Rotten Tomatoes or whatever, you know, somebody's name kind of thing. I think it works really well in that form factor. Mm-hmm. But most people want to either lug around a laptop or a phone. The only thing tablet to me gives on top of either of them is just a bigger phone interface for certain games or certain types of interactions. But I mean, you know, tablets for some reason are really overpriced. It's hard to get tablets with lots of RAM and they're just not selling. I mean, Chewy is one of the Asian manufacturers you can get off of AliExpress. You can get Chewy tablets for honestly a pretty decent price with pretty good specs, right. But they're not selling.
I should look at that. If Google's not going to come out with something, I will look at something similar to Chewy. Because I've got the Amazon Kindle Fire 8 HD or whatever, and it's a big new tablet that's slow. I mean, it's nowhere near the tablet the 3-year-old Nexus 7 is.
Well, that thing, I firmly believe, Eric, that was an accident. That tablet was an accident because that tablet performed well beyond its price.
Right. And that's all we're asking for, Google, is give us something else that we can use for 3 years straight, you know, with as long as we, you know, with a USB-C connector now so that we don't have to worry about wearing that out.
And of course, if you're in the hardware business, that's the last thing you want to do.
True.
Is sell a single product.
Right, right. But brand loyalty, they're building it up, but if they never actually come up with another one, my brand loyalty is going to go away sooner or later.
Yeah, and the last complaint I have is just every single company's overuse of the word AI. Let's just stop and think for a second. AI, artificial intelligence, not answering questions, because that's all these devices do right now is they answer questions. Some of them trace you, track you, monitor you, and then make guesstimations upon what you want. That's not AI.
Well, I don't even see that, though, too much.
I beg to differ, Dor. But Google now seems pretty darn intelligent to me. It suggests things to me.
The printed version, though. The printed version of it, right? Not the talking version, right?
Well, all of the above. I mean, it's all the same thing. It's Google now is a product. The cards, the suggestions, the map, it's all a thing. That all of those things together emulate a level of intelligence. I just recently bought... a new projector for my man cave because Google now said, hey, here's this smoking deal on projectors. And I know you're interested because you've been searching on projectors a lot.
Was it on Kinja?
That's an algorithm. It wasn't. That's not intelligence.
But it doesn't matter what it is. What is your brain? It's a collection of mathematical computations.
No,
you know?
No. Much more dynamic than that.
I
can give actual suggestions and say, Mark seems to like Marvel and projections. How about I dig deeper and go more dynamic than just saying, here's Marvel and here's a projection.
In the end, it doesn't matter. Whether it's a true intelligence, it's an assistant, and it assists me on a regular basis. I will get alerts that say, hey, traffic is starting to stack up, and usually this time of day you head out toward the ice cream shop. Maybe you want to head there now. I don't care how you break down the components. The sum total of those components feels like intelligence.
I see that, though, in the cards. Way more than any other part of Google Now, though.
What I'm saying. Maps, I'm just saying it's all a unit.
But I feel that the voice stuff is totally disjointed from that. Google Home is not nowhere near what the cards is.
Well, the Home is literally just a responsive unit. That's one of the failings of it. It's not a proactive unit. It's a reactive unit. And I will fully admit, Mark, this is if human beings are capable of producing stuff that actually has artificial intelligence, which we still don't know, I do think this is on the path to it. And I do thoroughly enjoy the feature set that I get, especially the Google Maps. The Google Maps stuff telling me faster route. The Google Maps stuff telling me that, I'm not going to deny I love that. But all that is it watched me for days. It knows I go here, and it knows if I go here and there's something bad in my travel, suggest to go around it. It isn't rocket science. What it is, it's the more responsive. It's quicker in that. A lot of this AI is really nothing more than more intelligent databasing and indexing, and then figuring out how to proactively see trends ahead of time. I don't want to sound like I can create this stuff on my own, because there ain't no way in hell I can.
So a few years ago, I took my kids to Disney, and we were watching the Fantasia show. And the whole time, I'm watching the intricate mechanics of the process, how these, there's a section where two boats come together, and I'm looking for the tracks that the boats are on. They're essentially slot cars in the water. I'm looking at the timing of the fireworks and how they have considered the fact that I am so far away that there is an auditory delay, and they have preloaded the audio so that the visuals match the audio from the 150th row. And I'm marveling at all of that. And I'm recognizing these are algorithms and this is science. My at the time, 6-year-old daughter was enraptured by the fact that Mickey Mouse was dancing on the water. It all depends on how you look at it. You're breaking down the mechanics of it. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can look at that and say, this is nothing magic. This is all smoke and mirrors. But if it looks like magic, it's okay to call it magic.
Well, and I'll say, I thoroughly appreciate the passion. And that's what it really is. I see the passion coming through from the Google developers trying to do these things, trying to make impressions, trying to... I really don't want to sound like Bill Nye, for God's sake, but trying to change the world. You know what I mean? They really are. And I got to give them credit for that. It's really cool and it's really fun. And I'm really happy I can enjoy this ride. But I know if I worked at Google, I would be banging heads to do better, because I know what they're capable of. You know what I mean? I've seen what they've been capable of. Like Eric said with the Nexus 7, there's no reason why they can't strong arm a manufacturer like, I don't know, HTC, who's in dire trouble right now. They are selling crap. They are getting ready to release a squeezable phone. A frigging squeezable phone. Okay? And say to HTC, look, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. We are going to make your hardware the most popular VR hardware there ever was, and just get them to do with their bidding. I mean, this is Google is in the same shoes I feel like Disney was 40 years ago. Disney could do whatever they wanted to do and tell anybody else to do whatever they wanted to do, and other people would do it. And I don't think they're taking advantage of it yet. I think a lot of the stuff they're releasing is almost like Microsoft in the 90s nickel and diming advancement and not actually pushing.
Is that just the way it has to be? I mean, is that just the way tech companies end up?
Well, that's why I love, if you take a look at IBM, I'll say yes.
Yeah, I mean, it happens to every single one of them, and I hope it doesn't happen to Google.
I know, but that's why I love competition, Eric. This is why I'm almost ready to buy this squeezable HTC phone, just because I don't want that company to die. And it's honestly not a bad phone. I mean, we as consumers, if we don't have competition, if we don't have companies pushing each other, they're not going to make advancements. And Apple's supposedly going to release a Siri home assistant thing. And I really hope it doesn't completely suck. I mean, It needs to not completely suck.
And HTC is an original. I mean, back in the day, I remember I could get my BlackBerry, or I could get this HTC Windows phone. And that was all the smartphones around.
The Nexus One was built by HTC, and it was It was an amazing phone.
Yeah. They're old school in these new times. I mean, it's not that many years ago, but they're old. They were the OGs.
And Dor, I think your wanting competition is also part of Google's reorganization last year into Alphabet. They wanted to sort of shake off the lethargy of being a giant company and force their own projects to compete with each other. I don't think it's worked out as well as they had hoped, but they're thinking along the same lines you are.
Yeah, I mean, unlike IBM, and to be honest, unlike Microsoft, Google does seem to be much more nimble. The logic I have is, you know, the 20% thing, I never heard of a company even doing the 20% thing. And then I stop and think about in my 9-to-5, and if they would allow at least, you know, a certain percentage of people every week, 20% time, that's one work day a week to say, let me work on something I think I would like to work on. And I could only imagine the outstanding things that could come out.
I think everybody is right there with you, Dor. And how awesome would the world be if you had that kind of freedom to express your thoughts and your dreams and to make your, I mean, I don't know. I assume everybody has ownership in the place they work at. And all they want to do is see it grow and be better. I think, that if everybody would do that, what a wonderful world, you know?
I know. And the whole thing is I'm not moving away from Google. I mean, I might say these things that, you know, about, you know, talking down about their projects and the thing that they're doing. I mean, I'm not buying a Pixel device. I don't do drugs, or at least beyond alcohol, I don't do drugs. But I know what they're capable of, and I've known more. And now, honestly, to shoot with you guys, I've known now a couple people who actually work for them, and I know what they're capable of. And I want to see just bigger and better stuff. Google I/O still has plenty of days left. You know, there could be really good things coming out of it. But I'm almost cackling like an 80s supervillain at the journalist spending 20 minutes talking about how cool it is that now Google Home, only in the United States, mind you, can make phone calls.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that. This is the first I've heard of that. I'll have to check that out. I would buy a Pixel phone. I'm
$700?
Well, maybe not that Pixel phone. The next one.
I could buy two Nintendo Switches for that money.
I've been impressed with Google's products. I honestly used to be a Samsung guy. Now, I wouldn't say a fanboy, but that was what was accessible to me through the provider I had for my cellular connection. So that's what I was used to. Since I've went to Nexuses, I really don't want to look back. I like having an update every month, because if I didn't have an update, I'd be rooting and romming and making an update. You know what I mean? I'd be going to change something. I like a little, you know, bumps here and there, just to say, hey, yeah, we got you, man.
Well, I mean, the last thing I'll say about it is, let's make Google great again.
Well, how about we make this show app again? We're 40-odd minutes into the show and haven't even mentioned an app. Why don't we just jump straight to the tank emptying part of the show?
Okay.
And let's do some rapid-fire apps. Eric, why don't you start us off?
This is going to be a hard one for me to rapid-fire, because my love is here. I've got so much passion for this. I think I just gave you the wrong link. Nope. Okay, this is called BB Tan 7 Years. And it is by 111%, as all the other BB Tan ones have been. And this is just a slight twist on the original. I posted in the chat. Is the chat working? Because I
no, you're in the wrong chat.
I'm sorry,
I'm not seeing it.
Okay, let me back up.
I did post it.
You did? Okay, thank you. Okay, so BB Tan 7 years. BB Tan took hours of my life away, and now they've changed it enough to make it fun again. So I brought balls a couple weeks ago, which was like a cheap ripoff of BB Tan. So this takes everything from balls that you may have liked more than BB Tan and put it in here. And then there's like a roulette wheel at the bottom. So you know how randomly you would have the bouncing icon that it would hit, and it would, things would bounce around, or you'll have the laser icon in there, and if your balls hit that, it would blast away at the squares next to you.
Yeah.
Now the roulette wheel spins, and that determines your destiny. Sometimes balls get taken away. Sometimes you get a bunch of them added. And I never really thought about it, but this now hit points is exactly what these squares have. Yeah. The numbers in there are hit points. You know, I always thought of hit points, you know, from back in the day, like, you know, when you're knocking down some boxer in Mike Tyson's Punch Out or something. You know, you get your level and your meter and the number of hit points. And yeah, those are exactly hit points. And I never thought about that. So now there's things called like bosses, where basically you'll have a square with 500 points inside of it that you have to get rid of it before it gets to the bottom. You'll have super balls that just destroy everything. You have fireballs that destroy things around everything that you hit. It just takes it to the next level. If you pay the extra money, all the, you know, like, your extra, you know, say if you die and it gets to the bottom and you want to get one extra ball to try again, that you used to have to watch a video. If you pay the money for the game, you get that for free. There's also the super ball, which just destroys everything, that you have to watch a video for, but if you pay the money, you get that for every time for free. It's got more coming. It's got roulette and poker coming, or slots and poker coming, which aren't there yet, but it does have roulette at the bottom as an extra little extra game. And there's also a button at the bottom where you can hit plus and minus, so you can speed up the game. You don't have to wait for the ball to go back and forth 100 times, which was a big complaint from my son, where balls, you can hit the super fast button and just does its thing. You can see it, but it does it much quicker. If you don't pay, and I thought when I first started playing this, I thought that, well, maybe with the roulette wheel, the stuff at the bottom is really a taxing on my CPU because it was slow. Well, that is intentional, because when you pay for it, it speeds it up. It takes, there's some kind of a restrictor or something making it slow. When you pay for it, that goes away. But the two times at the bottom where you can make it twice as fast. So the games don't have to take, you know, nearly as long to get through. I would say in my first dozen plays of it, I was over 100, you know, and that seemed to take a lot longer the first time. But man, when I thought I was over BB Tan, you know, I felt like an addict. I had set it aside and I've moved on, and this sucked me right back in. And now I'm wasting hours again.
This is BB Tan 7 years.
BB right? Tan 7 years. Yeah. And the 7 years thing is, I guess he doesn't have antennas grown out yet. So he's 7 years old, and roulette is just okay. I guess when you get older than 7 years, then you would upgrade to the poker and slots somehow. It seems that way.
Eric, you are a dangerous person. That's all I got to say.
It's
BB Tan 7 years, 111% is the company name, which is genius. Again, 925 reviews, does contain ads, does have in-app purchases, 4.5 average reviews, updated May 18th today. Version 1.6, between 100,000 and 500,000 installs. This looks like a digital drug, Eric. That's the only thing I'm
saying. It feels like it. It's so satisfying to play this game, yet it is so addicting. I've never had a game or an app at all take me the way this series has. I hope there's not a whole lot more apps that can do this to me. It's really a time kill.
Well, I'll say the one screenshot that literally scares the hell out of me is when it looks like the blocks possibly shrink, and instead of only having, like, you know, 8 or 10 blocks going across the top, it looks like there's like 30 blocks going across the top in one screenshot.
That and I think that is yet to come, because at the bottom of that screen is a slot machine, which is not available yet.
Yeah. This looks so dangerous, Eric. Oh, my Lord. I mean, we like being productive at work, but this really does endanger.
If you liked BB Tan and you have some Google Play credit build up from your rewards, pay the money. It makes it much better. It's totally worth, I don't remember, $1.99, $2.99 or whatever. Totally worth spending your rewards credits on.
It looks like right now it's $2.99. And I will say this, the only bad thing about this show is the prices now seem to be fluctuating on a lot of apps so quickly that even if you download this the second it comes out, the price might be slightly different. But right now, at least, the in-app purchase is $2.99.
I can't. If I download this, I'll get fired. I can't.
Don't do it, Mark. Honestly, you don't. This will take you back to day one with BB Tan. You don't want to do it. Put it on a tablet that only stays at home. That's my recommendation. And never install it on your daily driver.
Well, I'll say to the listeners, if you didn't check out the previous one, BB Tan app, then check out this one, because then you don't know, and this will be your first experience. But something tells me this is dangerous.
But if you have $2.99 in your tank, as far as Google Play credits go,
everybody
spend that.
Everybody listening to this show should have at least $8 to $10 in the Google Opinion Rewards, unless every time you get 99 cents, you spend
it. I mean, honestly, almost, I would say every 2 days, I make at least 20 cents. You know, it asks me if I went to 5 stores, and one of them I probably went to within the last month, so I'll say that one. And then it'll ask me, did I go on this day, or a week ago, or a month ago? And I'll say, yeah, a month ago. And then it'll ask me if I paid cash or a debit card. And I'll say, I don't remember. And that's 20 cents.
Typically I get, have you been to any of these places? I say no. And they say, here's a dime.
Yeah. If you say no, you get a dime. But if you say yes and I don't remember, because honestly, those places I probably did visit a month ago. And I honestly don't remember. And that makes it 20 cents or 21 or whatever.
Very cool app.
All right. What's next, Eric?
Ooh. Back to back. Okay. So last time I was here, I wasn't here last week and I missed you guys. I brought the actual, you know, I'm still not in the right chat though. I brought the actual physical fidget spinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now I've got, I'm just going to say the App Store is full of virtual fidget spinners. If you cannot go to Walgreens and buy an actual one, you can get virtual ones on here. And,
okay. Well, who makes the one you're talking
about? The one is made by, of course, it's going to be Zijayrate Entertainment. And it's just okay. It's not that great of an app. I bet by now, and I think I was maybe a little early when I installed this. I don't know if there's probably better ones than this one, but it's easy to upgrade, and once you upgrade just the slightest, it changes from night to day. Literally, when you first start, your fidget spinner will spin for like 5 seconds or 10 seconds. And then the next one will spin for minutes. You know, the bearings in the virtual second one you upgrade to are so much better than the first one that it makes all the difference in the world. So anyway.
Yeah, I would say it's dangerous to just type in fidget
spinner. This one's called Fidget Hand Spinner by Zijayrate Entertainment. You should have the app, the link in the chat now. And it says it's the best cure for your excess energy. You know, I paid $6 for the fidget spinners I have. This one right here, Mark, in case you didn't see it. So fun. Okay. Were they banned in your schools that you work at yet, Mark?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, I found out, did I tell you why they were banned in the schools that my kids go to?
Because they're super annoying?
Because kids were throwing them at each other.
No, it was because a kid hooked up an airline to it and held it in his hand while he was blowing it with high-pressure air from an air compressor, and it spun so fast that he couldn't hang on to it anymore, and it hit somebody and hurt them.
Okay, so the kid was an idiot.
Well, I mean, I can't blame the kid for trying that. That seems like the obvious thing to do.
Well, we used to call that natural selection.
Why not ban air compressors?
I love like the Facebook posts now. And yeah, good point. I like the Facebook posts and they like the original fidget spinner and it's like the helicopter off of a maple tree or whatever those trees are that mm-hmm, they fall mm-hmm. off of. And I'm like, yes, absolutely. Okay.
Yeah. The one I saw was the old toy from the actual like 50s or 60s, I believe. The piece of curved
metal
with the cylinder in it that with the magnet where it went up and down and you would like flick it like a yo-yo kind of thing and it would
go. Was it a magnet or was it just a centrifugal force holding it to the metal?
It was magnetic. I believe there was a magnet, Bob.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But yeah, I mean, who 8 months ago would have seen the amount of money to be made off of these frigging things? Whoever that is, not me, they're a genius. They're now sitting rich in like Bahamas or something because the amount of money being spent on the word fidget spinner right now is insane.
When somebody told me that they were selling pieces of plastic with four skateboard or skate bearings in them for $20,
right,
and they were going crazy, I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. When I was told that I could get the same thing for $6, I went out and bought four of them.
Well, okay, I heard this. Your friend and mine, Liam Tidwell, I believe on Etsy, is now selling a custom fidget spinner for, I believe it's $10. It's two pieces coming off the side. The pieces that come off the side have drill bit type hexagon based things in them, which are screw heads. So it's a fidget spinner, and then you can take the screw heads out, put them in the end, and use it like a screw driver. And he's 3D printing them off his 3D printer. He's buying the bearings in bulk and putting them on eBay and selling them.
All right, I'll have to look for that. It's a useful fidget spinner.
And that's his logic. I might as well make a fidget spinner that actually can be used. And he said he's been carrying one around for a couple of weeks. And he said he cannot count the number of times where he's pulled it out and actually used it as a screw driver. So it's actually useful. Yeah. I don't want to say he's genius because that might make his ego a little bit big. But I got to say that.
I'll say it. He is genius. All right, I'll have to look for that one. All right, I've got one more in my tank.
Of a digital fidget spinner. I mean, I get the tactile sensation of a gyroscope in your hand, but what's the lure of a digital
fidget? Well, you're not getting any of the gyroscope, but it's for people who have never held one. You know what I'm saying, Mark? If you've held one in your hand and you felt the gyroscope, it's over. This wouldn't work. But for those who haven't actually held one, and just think, oh, you know, this is what it is. You spin a thing, the app will spin it, right?
Yeah, I will say, first off, I hate to admit this. In one of my spoken edition podcasts I listened to, I use the word loosely, scientist, is trying to say people with fidget spinners, while they're using them, think smarter or think better or think faster or some cockamamie stuff like that. I'll say this. I honestly believe it's me, so it could be completely delusional, I will admit, that the fidget cube was the first thing announced on Kickstarter. You make them, blah, blah, blah. I honestly believe these fidget devices were created as medical devices for people with ADHD to help cope with the incessant need to stop moving. Like, I literally find myself when I'm sitting there doing nothing, rocking back and forth like I'm listening to music, or my knee jerking up and down incessantly and it won't stop, or those kinds of things, where supposedly these fidget devices were supposed to help alleviate some of those, I don't know, stresses.
No, you've heard that, and they're actually, that's the marketing they're using for these. I went to Walgreens to buy them, that's why they're at Walgreens.
I think the original one, the spinner anyway, the fidget cube is a different thing, but the spinner was a tool for an autistic child who needed something to focus on.
Mm. Kind of makes sense now, Mark.
One last app, and this is coming from our earlier conversation of VR. This is called Bandit 6 Salvo by Climax Studios. This is a VR app. And this is the fun game I was referring to earlier about, you know what? I bought this off the Oculus store. I don't know if this is the same game. It probably is, though. Does it say anything about VR on here? Oh, yeah, okay. Right, only now, available on Daydream compatible phones, okay. Or Samsung Gear VR also. So this is a kind of a fun, I guess, like with the, you've got somebody storming the beach and you're guarding your beach. And you can switch between machine gunners and bombs. And basically, you're it's kind of like the aerial. You brought a retro game not too long ago, Dor, about a plane shooting game. And I asked if it was the one where it had the square that went on the ground. So part of it's that where you would lob your missiles over to get things. But it's fun. I mean, you look to the sides and you see your targets and you shoot. You know, you got the VR headset on. You got the game controller in your hand. And you're just guarding your beach. And it's a good time.
Yeah. I'll say the only way I can describe this to listeners is it's a very beautifully cel-shaded graphics. So it's not realistic graphics, but it's really crisp, good graphics with the perspective. And this is the only way I can describe it to the audio listeners. So I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I apologize. But it's almost like you're the Nazis and you're defending D-Day.
Yes.
Where you're in a isolated, standalone, fixed area and you're protecting a region from onslaught, from people coming towards you. I ain't going to lie. I hate saying that, Eric. If I did have a VR, you bet your buck I would download this thing and try it because this does look like fun.
Right.
And another quick diversion. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I apologize. Okay. Is there any VR game that's not shooting, first-person shooter S kind of thing? Because because I did hear somebody else mention that, and it didn't click until you brought this game. It seems like the only successful VR games are first-person perspective, of course, but they're shooter games where you're actually shooting at stuff. I didn't realize that till
I've said played a VR racing game.
Oh, that could be cool.
Honestly, though, a lot of the VR games are shooting games, or they're just basically some sort of a video that you're watching in VR, where sometimes you would interact with the things around you, or sometimes you're just watching a video play.
Damn you, Ardini. I'm not going to lie. Damn, I hate saying that too. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm drinking kettle vodka. It's really good. I'm going to take the cardboard VR that I have upstairs that I literally haven't touched for at least 6 months. And I'm going to load this damn thing, at least if I can.
Okay, well,
I'll load it on my OnePlus One.
Is that a Daydream compatible phone?
I don't
know. Well, the thing is, it's going to be hard to, because cardboard doesn't really strap to your head, and you need to have your hands.
It's incapable.
Well, you need to have your hands on a joystick to fire and switch guns and things. So you really have to have something strapped to your head to play this game. You can't just be holding it up in front of you.
Well, that's what the cardboard VR is strapped to your head. But I'm now looking at it; it is not compatible with any of my devices. And you just heard how much I liked how this looked and how it looked like it played. Mm-hmm. Ain't no way in hell I'm spending $600 to play this.
Okay, well, I didn't spend $600, and I'm playing it.
You got gifted.
There's two different stores, and that's an issue, too. There's a whole different VR store, which is not Google Play, which I don't get rewards for answering questions on, and that's called the Oculus Store. And I really wish I had a way of getting free money in the Oculus Store like I do in the Google Play Store, because the things in the Oculus Store aren't nearly as cheap. There's some free stuff, but there's a lot of paid content in there. But the stuff is pretty, you know, it's nice. It's a lot of things you're not going to find in Google Play Store either. But I don't want to really tie a debit card to the Oculus Store for this non-4K phone, because when you've got that thing strapped to your head, you can tell it's not 4K. You can see the pixels when it's 3 inches away from your head with magnifying glasses right next to your eyes. When it gets to the point where you actually have a decent display right that close to your face, then maybe it might be worth spending some money on. But until then, I have a hard time doing it. And I haven't yet. So everything's been free basically free. It's been free so far. And which is fine, which I'm dipping my toes. I'm finding games like this. It's coming. One more game before I empty my tank. And this is kind of for Dor, but this is also kind of be careful, because it's by 111% again. So may or may not be addicting. This is called 1Q. It's an 8-bit pool game, which is it's billiards. I mean, when I say pool, it's billiards. Did that go in there? I'm sorry.
Nope.
Okay, there you go.
There you go.
Is it the right one? Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so it's billiards, but it's not like you're not like playing 9-ball or 8-ball. Basically, you just have to line it up and get each colored ball in once, and they light up at the top as you get the green ball sunk, the red ball sunk, the blue ball sunk, the pink ball, and then when you get through all of them, you kind of level up. Not a really easy game because after you get through a full table or two of the balls knocked in, it's kind of like BB Tan where your tracer lines, where it shows where the ricochets and things are going to happen, those lines kind of go away a little bit and you're more on your own. So it gets tougher with time. But the physics are there. It works good. It's just very 8-bit looking. And it's a pretty fun game. I don't know if it's going to totally consume me like BB Tan does, though.
Well, I'll say this. I like the physics of pool. I have true mono vision. I don't look out of my both eyes at the same time, so depth perception really bad. But I always appreciated the physics of pool, and I enjoyed when I was able to actually shoot pool good, which always seemed to be 2 beers in, but not 3 beers.
Yes, good point. Yeah, way to put it.
Yeah, and I never understood that. This to me seems like the kind of pool-like game that I'm willing to play. And honestly, the fact that it isn't addictive means it's okay for me to try. Because hopefully it will just be moderately fun and not completely addictive.
I mean, I could see us having a contest on who gets, because it's a score thing. So, I don't know. I may be in the 20s or 30s, but if somebody gets like 90s or 100, they could definitely boast, and I would be envious.
So do you have to do? So I do see the table, and I see the cue ball, and I see the balls above the table. Do you have to put them in a certain order?
No, you put in one ball, and then the table totally resets every time.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, that's dangerous. Yeah, this literally looks like something that could have been marketed on DOSBox.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I mean that in a almost flattering kind of way.
All right, that's your tank, Eric?
That's my tank.
Sure. Give us your 4 or 5 best shots.
Okay, first thing I want to bring is not actually an app. And the reason I'm bringing it is because I actually might try to use it. It's called Hermit. H-E-R-M-I-T. And it's at hermit.chimbori.com. It looks
Chimbori.
Like. Thank you. Yes. What I believe this enables me to do is to literally download this, point it at podnuts.com, and make a Podnuts app.
Mm.
And really all it is it looks like it has the ability to take a website and turn it into a Google Play app. So I might try this just to see what the output looks like. What I'm hoping is it's not just a static snapshot of a web page or a website. Because if it is, then what I'm tempted to do is literally look at making a subdomain with the same theme with certain types of static content just pointing you towards the real content. Because the thing with podnuts.com is it's all interactive content that is meant to constantly change. There is no static content that you go back to time and time again. So I might play with this, see what happens, see what I can do. See if I can actually make a little podnuts.com app without A, spending hundreds of dollars, and B, losing tens of hours of time trying to do it. Okay, the next thing I'm going to bring is a game. There's no way I can say this. There's no video in the store. I honestly wish there was. I've never said that before. I honestly wish there was a video in the store for this. It's called Galaxy on Fire 3 Manticore, M-A-N-T-I-C-O-R-E, Manticore, by Deep Silver, 1,744 reviews, 4.2 average reviews, May 17th, 2017, it was updated, so yesterday, between 1 and 5 installs, baby. Let me tell you something. You go to patreon.com/Android App Addicts. You support people bringing you the absolute freshest, most dynamic content.
Absolutely.
Possible.
Wow.
This game is insane in its video quality. Literally, I gotta say, I am blown away at the quality of content I see in this application. Now, it's not perfect because nothing is perfect. And if some journalist tells you something is perfect, they might be getting paid. I'm not getting paid for this. This does have in ads, and I didn't see any full screen ads in my experience. They were all just lower third kind of ads. It does have in-app purchases, and unfortunately, Mark, this is the kind of in-app purchases that does give you power-ups in order to level up quicker kind of thing. I had a lot of fun not paying any money, ignoring the ads, and just moving forwards. The best way I can describe this to the audio listener, it is a space exploration slash combat slash RPG. You're in your spaceship. You have behind your spaceship view, you have two virtual joysticks, basically, you can use. Some of your missions are to escort people. Some of your missions are to attack. Some of your missions are to investigate. So, you know, there's all kinds of different missions. There's a lot of talking in this game, though. There is a insane amount of talking, and it's real talking, and you can just hear the people talking if you want. So I couldn't listen to podcasts while I played this. But when you get to the action parts of the game, it is, the only way I can say this, unbelievably gorgeous. This is the kind of thing I could honestly see being available on the Xbox downloadable store or the PS4 kind of store. Man, I literally was in awe multiple times looking at the graphics in this game. And most of the time I'm like the 8-bit, like, you know, graphics guy. And this was just so beautiful.
Did this install on your OnePlus?
This did not install my OnePlus. It did install on my Honor 8 though. And after 5 minutes of playing it, boy, was that puppy hot.
Yeah, it says it won't install on anything I own. So it looks very graphic intensive.
Interesting that it installs on your Honor device, because Manticore is one of the planets in David Weber's Honor Harrington series of novels.
Huh.
I've been looking to see here if I can tell if there's anything related to that. I can't quite tell, but
Ninth Heaven, does that mean anything?
I don't know. I'm looking for some combination or correlation there, but anyway, maybe it's just the name. But the Manticora Navy is the setting for many of those series of books. So anyway, when you said the Honor phone, that seemed poetically appropriate.
There you go. I will say, because of the number of installs, to the people who've been around for a while, that should tell you. Typically, with these more established software people, this is by Deep Silver, who is marked as a top developer, which means when they first put out a app, they really do limit the number of devices this can be on because they're afraid of negative feedback. So as the app gets bug reports back and as they fix things, they slowly expand the number of devices this can be on. So by the time you listen to this on Monday, it could be available on your device. It might take weeks for this to be available on a device. When I went to the Google Play Store and literally searched Galaxy on Fire space Manticore, it was number 8 in the list. So it is going to be hard to find. It's going to be hard to download. It might not work on your device, but it's the kind of thing, in a couple, you know, put this in your list, put this in a reminder. Okay, Schmoogle, remind me in 3 weeks, Galaxy on Fire, and check it out and see if it can, and, you know, be on your phone. And if it can, let me tell you something. You are going to genuinely enjoy the combat in this game until it gets to the point to where you really get upset because it's difficult. Because that's what happened.
It seemed, by reading the reviews and things, that Galaxy on Fire is a very successful series that I don't remember us talking about these games before.
Oh yeah, they've definitely been around for a while, and they're definitely successful. It's a question of trying to up what they did last, and it's not easy to do. What I want to bring next is actually two apps that are in conjunction with each other. The first one is Coursera, and everyone who's been on the internet has heard of this. Coursera now has an official app. Coursera is one of the places you can go online and you can freely register, or some of the ones you can pay for, where you literally get college level classes, lessons, where you can learn a lot of really higher things at no cost. So most of the time when it costs money, you get a certificate at the end of completion. So you can do a lot of the things for free and never have to pay. And this is the kind of thing where I honestly, I have a relative or two or maybe three quarters of them who are not well off as far as I'm concerned. And I tried to explain to one of them last week, anything you want to do, want to learn, want to become, aspire to be, the information is freely available on the internet. You might not know where to get it, but if you tell me an area of which you would like to learn, I can probably help you learn that to where you can literally better yourself to where in 5 to 7 years, you might not even be able to recognize yourself.
Good point. Good point, Dor.
I wasn't trying to be insulting because he is an unbelievably nice guy.
People need to know that, though. If they don't know that those resources are out there and they can change their lives, they need to, yes.
And the main reason I say they can is because I tell them, look at me. I didn't graduate college. Really, I didn't graduate high school, okay? I can legally go into a court of law and say I graduated high school because I got my GED before it was reclassified. And I'm making good money. I'm not making great money, but I got a house I'm not worried about. I'm not stressed. I got two kids who eat a hell of a lot of food and who are spoiled rotten. They get everything they want. My wife, for Mother's Day, I bought her nearly a $300 purse because I love her with unbelievable levels of passion that I can't dictate on this show. And it didn't hurt me. Okay. Anybody has the availability to really transform themselves into different people and to make as much money as you really do want to do. It's just a question of, do you have the passion and desire to sit down and learn and better yourself? And Coursera is honestly one of the few places I believe where if you invest in yourself, you will get paid back tenfold in return. And I'm sorry, that's such a cliche, but I really do believe there's some truth to it.
I can't agree with you more. I mean, I've listening to podcasts, watching YouTube. If you're into tech and you think you want to fix computers, listen to everything on PodNuts. But any subject is really out there. I mean, I just built a fence, probably a $4,000 fence, privacy fence. I built it the right way. I built it like I would have paid somebody to build it, picket by picket, not buying 8-foot panels or nothing. I learned all of this on YouTube just over the weekend and just bought the right parts and put it together the correct way and, you know, saved myself a ton of money. I'm not going to build another fence. This is the only fence I'm going to build. But I could have sat there and said, well, I don't know how to make a fence. I'm going to have to pay somebody. But it's so free. I do like the opportunities to have knowledge like this.
And wherever you are, if you want to go somewhere else, education is the way to get you there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No matter what it is.
Right. And what I really tried to push through to this guy is you don't have to be rich. You don't have to pay tens of thousands of dollars. You don't need to go to Princeton, Harvard, or any place with a genuine name in order to give yourself credibility. It's available to you. The second app in the chain of these two apps is edX online courses. Now, edX is different than Coursera. edX is a conglomeration of places like Carnegie Mellon, Harvard, MIT. I mean, these are the schools that anybody with any credibility behind their name, that's where they went. edX Most of the courses are completely free. To pay means you get a certificate of completion. Okay. So they're a little bit, you know, I don't want to say more difficult, but if you pay the money and you get the certs behind your name, it definitely adds to your credibility. EdX is one of those insane places. I beg people on the next 15 minute break from work, on the next time you're at lunch, while you're waiting in line at a place to get something served to eat, just go to EdX, browse the courses. And some of the courses, you might not understand what they're even called, what they are. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you go and do just a Google search of hot jobs in your area, and you then do a search on those same things on services like edX, you will most definitely find things that relate and most definitely find things that will enable you to be competitive with, and really, this is going to piss off people, but make you very competitive with people who spent 4 years paying for college, going to places, whether it's a state university or someplace else. If you go to edX and do these courses, you will at least be competitive with them in the job market. They're going to have the degree behind their name, but you can at least stand up in an interview and compete.
Good stuff.
Yes, good stuff.
Yeah. And total, and I've really, this is the kind of thing between us people here, this private conversation we're having, I really hope nobody from my job is listening to this. Part of me almost wants me to not have a job, to force me to go through these type of things, learn and better myself, and then go get a better job. But I'm terrified of such a thing to happen, and I'm pretty sure I would cry for a number of hours before being able to sit down and learn. But the availability of information is, and I hate using catchy kitsch phrases, but the availability of information is ubiquitous. We are in truly the golden age of information. I cannot see a time in the future where anybody on the face of the planet will have access to as much information to better themselves. And I cannot encourage everybody to just stop watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Stop watching The Bachelor. Stop watching X-Men movies and Marvel movies and take a couple minutes out of every week and better yourself.
Do you?
Because that's all I try to do.
Do you guys ever get the thought, like, I hear what you're saying, Dor, about that. Like, man, I could just go do this totally different thing. Like, but I can't do that. Who do I know that I could just inspire to go do that? Because there's totally a, it's kind of like a find a need, fill a need kind of thing. And it's so, it would be so, I come up with these ideas. I'm like, I mean, I could pivot and you think you could pivot and we could totally change on a dime right now and do something totally different and just succeed at it. But honestly, we can't because people rely on us to do the things we're already doing. So then I start thinking, well, who would be good at that other than me? Because this really needs to get done, but I don't want to change my entire life to do it because, I mean, people are counting on me to do the thing I do. Do you guys have those feelings, like, weekly, monthly? Okay, maybe just me.
Incessantly, yes, okay. I do. And the only person I know off the top of my head who can, his name is Caleb Fultz, because he's not married, he lives by himself, and he has the power to do this. And I understand, Eric, I have a family. And by the way, if you haven't checked out talkinghorror.com, go ahead and check it out. Caleb Fultz just started a podcast.
Oh, good.
Unbelievably nice guy, talking about horror movies and what he enjoys about them kind of thing. Yes, that's a plug that he didn't ask for. And I just said it because I like him and he didn't pay me for it. Part of me almost wishes I had the availability to live like a bum for 90 days, 6 months, 9 months, and regrow myself and transform myself like some Hollywood character into something else, because there's such strong amounts of information out there. I almost feel, I don't want to say like a dead end job, because it's not. And what I know does give me the availability to go into multiple different angles of where I'm at, but there is so many different job titles out there. And to be honest, Mark is the guy who I believe has to know this. 15 years ago, there was the job webmaster. Now, there's literally 30 job titles that compose what that one person did that, you know, 20 years ago or whatever, to where now there's so many different job titles you can specialize in. You really can pick almost anything you want to, become an expert in it, a subject matter expert, a SME in it, and you literally could find yourself a brand new career. And right now I can't do that. I would like right. to be able to.
I know. I'm with you, man. And I'm not one to shy away from the pivoting. I'm a pivoter. 8 years in one job. This is going to be a record for me. I've never really had the same type of job back to back in my life. It's always been totally something different. But I love my job. I'm not going to change it. But I have these ideas, and I'm like, oh. I could totally do. It's a great time right. to be. I think it's just because the times we are in, there's so much access to knowledge and opportunity. If anybody is not taking advantage of this, I really pity them, because, and I also feel bad that those needs are not being fulfilled, because they are needs and they need to be filled.
I don't have grand dreams of pivoting into a new career, but I do force myself at least one Saturday a month to do something I don't know how to do.
Great.
You know, like I'll take on a big task. Recently, I took on the task of creating a very complicated woodworking project, knowing I didn't have the skills to do it, knowing I didn't know how to do
it. What did you do? What
pick something.
Can I ask, what was it?
It was an intricate, what's the word? Butcher block pattern, for a butcher block island for the kitchen. It was supposed to be for Mother's Day. It will maybe be Mother's Day next year. I didn't have the tools to do it. I didn't have the knowledge to do it. I didn't have the talent to do it. I knew all that going in, and I didn't say, because I don't know how to do this, I'm not going to do it. I said, because I don't know how to do this, I'm going to go do it.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, setting aside time to you know, quitting your job and running off and doing a new career. Mm-hmm. It can just be picking something you don't know how to do. Do you not know anything about, you know, chemistry? Go buy a chemistry set and learn how it works, you know, for $50. It doesn't have to be a big deal. Like you guys have been saying for the last 10 minutes or so, the sum of human knowledge is available at little or no cost. There's no excuse not to know something. A few years ago, I set out to become an expert in the Roman Empire. Why? Ooh. Just because I didn't know anything about it. So
that's deep.
Yeah. So I read and I studied and I learned, and I don't know that I'd call myself an expert, and I know more than most people. Not that it's going to use. I'm not useful in any way. I'm not going to get a job doing that. But it was an exercise in learning something I didn't know.
Sound like a smart guy in the room, though, for sure.
Well, no. I'll tell you like this. Knowing and understanding the Roman Empire makes you, from what I can tell, understand in so much more detail today, and how today is, why today is, and in retrospect, how tomorrow can be because of what happened back then. The Roman Empire is one of those things. It was so big and so overpowering and so deep.
The last couple of years, I've been trying to teach myself Latin.
Wow, nice. Wow.
Then I'll be able to read up on the Roman Empire. See?
Well then right. you'll hear a word and you'll like, oh, that probably has something to do with this. And you'll actually know, you know, the origin or the you know, you'll hear a weird word and you'll know probably what it means.
Right. Well, I'll say this to you, Mark, and then really the last thing I like to do is put people into corners on live podcasting. But I'm gonna tell you right now, Mark, I will happily pay you money to take your phone and show me your cold brewing setup and just do a couple minutes of explanation behind it, because I'm now diabetic. There's lots of things I can't drink. Okay. Coffee, from what I can believe, if coffee didn't taste like crap, it's one of the things I could freely, in air quotes, drink. And with your cold brewing setup that you never really you went into detail, but you never really gave me that, where it sounded unbelievably fun in the discovery process and the building process. And it just sounded really cool. I hate to say it to your face, Mark, but I'm almost kind of jealous at your enterprisingness of just doing stuff like that. And in the Roman Empire stuff, you just doing it, just deciding one day, I'm going to do this.
Yeah. I haven't talked about it, I don't think, on this show, but I spent 3 years learning to make coffee. Just, you know, because.
Not just to make coffee, Mark. To master the cold brewing process.
Right. And I had to understand the chemistry and physics involved in coffee, and what makes coffee taste like garbage and how to make that not happen.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the nicest way to try your coffee is if the nicest way I can put it is if you are at all entertained by Steve Gibson's unbelievable obsession to comprehension for topics, there's no doubt in my mind you would enjoy Mark's dedication to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And now just for something completely different. and if you are looking to completely change your job in the job market and you really want to learn Linux and you really want to know about Linux on the public internet, right now there's no better solution you can utilize than Microsoft Azure, and I just threw up in my mouth. And that's because there is no operating system installed more on Microsoft Azure than Linux. If you go to try to research the Azure numbers, if you notice, they don't tell you a lot of those numbers. Red Hat was able to determine the number of installations they had running on Azure services, and it was almost 80% from what they could tell of all Azure installs.
So Azure's a virtual machine that you can rent or something? Or what are you saying?
Azure...
It's like Azure, their version of Amazon's EC3.
Right. It is their infrastructure. The way I explain infrastructure as a service kind of thing to the layman is it's kind of like pizzas. You can either completely order a pizza and get it delivered to your house, or you can go buy a crust, make your own sauce, make your own cheese, make your own toppings, put it on. There's all kinds of layers in the pizza baking process. You determine how much you want somebody else to control versus what you control. Microsoft Azure is where you pay them. They give you the infrastructure in order to put your applications and operating systems to run on. And right now, Azure is hot. It's not as hot as Amazon, but there is a Amazon app called Microsoft Azure, top developer, 113 reviews, E for everyone, 4.8 average reviews between 5,000 and 10,000 install, which should tell you this is actually really freaking
okay, new. So if you have a crappy computer with a good web browser, you can buy a decent computer online to run your operating system and applications on.
What Microsoft Azure wants you to do is to use their infrastructure as a service. So you would still run your operating system on your desktop computer, but you would push your more intensive processing needs up to the cloud. Or if you wanted to host something online that needed processing power, you would let them take the brunt of that work. There's multiple levels of Azure services. If you want, you can just download the Visual Studio Core free application from GitHub. I believe it's on GitHub. Design your own application in C#. Publish it through the free Microsoft.NET Core that nobody on the face of the planet seems to be talking about. And then take that application and put it on an Azure public cloud infrastructure and then offer it to people as a service.
Wow.
Yeah. So it would have cost you, 10, 15 years ago, thousands of dollars to get something up on the public web and to have some actual muscle behind it. Now it can literally cost you pennies to dollars.
And recently, Microsoft has really been backing Linux, joining the Linux Foundation, that sort of thing. And this is why. They need Linux for both their foundation and for the platform that people will run on their system. So it's been a good thing for computing in general.
A perfect way to put it. Microsoft's main goal is to just not become irrelevant. So at any point of the workflow process, development process, or hosting process, Microsoft wants to be involved in any shape, way, or form they can. And Azure has become incredibly competitive, and there's only one reason it has been competitive, and that is the name Mark Rusinovich. If that name is completely new to you, just go to YouTube, type in Mark Rusinovich, and just watch a couple of his talks. This guy is easily one of the most impressively, intellectually complex people in the computing industry that has existed. And I don't say that, and I literally don't say that lightly. This guy is unbelievably smart, and he is the brains behind Azure. And that's why I think Azure has a really good chance of being really successful in the long term.
And this is another one of those pivotal moments where you think, oh, I could pivot, and I'm going to totally do this thing now.
Right.
Dor, you're just throwing out all the entrepreneurial ideas.
Well, then
during this,
I completely disappoint okay. you.
I'm ready.
Okay. This one is called Pug's Quest. P-U-G-S
It's about
Quest,
a dog, like a pug dog.
Yeah, and it's by Noodle Cake Studio. We in this ecosystem have heard of Noodle Cake.
Oh, it's not even...
Noodle Cake don't put out no
16-bit enough Noodle to Cake see it's Studios, a pug, really.
Right. 11 reviews. And unfortunately, it's $2.99 to buy. Hopefully, they come down in price soon or becomes free soon. 4.6 average reviews. Only 11 total reviews. Updated May 10th, 2017. Only 100 to 500 installs. Current version 1.0. Again, this is really fresh. Wow. I highly encourage people to watch this video. This is unbelievably reminiscent of Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past, Dungeons. But you ain't got no sword, okay? You're a pug. And you're going around these puzzle dungeons where you're trying to pick up your dog biscuits, pick up your dog treats, slide around on ice, avoid dangers, and survive and solve puzzles.
I think I'd like that. I gotta say, I think I'd like that better than having a sword, though.
Let me tell you something. This was maybe the best $2.99 I think I ever spent on Android. This was a heck of a lot of fun. It really did give me that fun factor I used to experience back on the NES of discovery and completion.
It's like Zelda and Frogger at a baby.
Yes, good point. Yeah, Mark, right on. And there's some interesting places that this bug gets into. And weapon, the map is odd for a pug to be into. Very alien.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to say this is normal or this is just weird. I have no problem admitting that. Okay. I want to bring just one more out, and it's because, like I've been saying here, the pricing in the Google Play market has literally been going crazy now. Things have been free and then pay and then free and then pay. And unfortunately, right now, this is again pay. It was EDJING, edging.
EDJing Pro.
EDJing Pro, music DJ mixer. Yesterday was completely free, and it was free for 3 days. And now it's back up to $4.99. I will say, if you insist on being up to date, when these apps come completely free, and if you don't want to install an app to keep up to date on this, if you ask for an invite to our Podnuts Mattermost server, which is like an IRC thing, and you go into that channel called AAA, you'll see whenever I pin applications for this show, and when I pinned this application in that channel, this was completely free. At the Google I.O., this is one of the things that they're not really focusing on, and this is the kind of thing that genuinely upsets me. They had like 3 or 4 DJs at the beginning of the event doing their thing in different parts of the I.O. conference, and they were all using Android devices as their main interface to DJing. The Android operating system used to have a latency in it that caused all music production to be incredibly difficult to do. In Android O especially, they say they have the latency down to near zero, which means music production on Android is getting to the point to where you can do real music production on it. And this is one of the apps that I honestly feel, if you're a DJ in the actual sense of the word, this is the kind of app that really you can have fun with and make music with and make tracks with and make mixes with and, you know, slide from track to track and beat match things and change tempos and just have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was totally psyched when I saw this was brought up for free, and then I went to install it, and I'm like, oh, I actually already paid for this. So, no, that's cool. Yeah. I don't use it. I got a senior graduation party coming up at my house. I'm like, oh, well, maybe I would bust the stereo amp out of the truck and set speakers up on the tailgate or whatever. And yeah, I still might.
Despite all the pleas not to.
I may have to buy an amplifier permit for the day. Who knows?
Nice. All right, well, let me recap our apps. There were many. BB Tan 7 years by 111%. Fidget Hand Spinner by VZJ Rate. Sure. Bandit 6 Salvo by Climax Studios. 1Q by 111%. Hermit by Chimbori.com. Galaxy on Fire 3 Manticore by Deep Silver. Coursera Online Courses by Coursera. EdX by Online Courses by EdX. Microsoft Azure by Microsoft Corporation. Pug's Quest by Noodle Quake Studios. And eDJing Pro Music DJ Mixer by DJIT. Best free music and audio apps for Android. They win the award for longest name ever. And I think this may win the award for the longest show ever. So, awesome.
Blame me, Mark. I'm sorry.
It's your show, man.
I blame Dor. What's
to blame you for?
Well, and I'll tell you this. We really do try our best to bring you the freshest, the newest stuff. If you listen to other Android shows, they'll bring up an app that we brought up 11 months ago. Literally 11 months ago, and try to tout it as being something new. Don't believe all the other shows you see. Do just a touch of research and you can see how long things have been around. And then I only beg you one thing. Support those who support you. Support those who answer your emails. Support those who you feel communicate directly with you. Don't support those who communicate to you.
Well put.
And how could they go about supporting you, Dor?
Well, the easiest way now is actually to go to podnuts.com/support, where we're going to list every possible way you can support this network as a whole or each individual show that you would like to support. For instance, if you wanted to support this show, you go to podnuts.com/support, and right there is a direct link to our Patreon for this show. If you support this show, you explicitly support Mark, the Sultan of the Soapbox, Cockrell, explicitly support Eric, the manager, Ardini, and explicitly support my Android addiction of my own. So we try to give you choices.
All right. Eric, any final words of wisdom?
Hey, if you're really super smart and you know anything about expanding a fiber network, we're looking for a person. And go on Indeed.com and look up Rock Falls, Illinois, and we're looking for a fiber supervisor. And I will say, you might want to change it, Mark. I'm not the great one, not the supervisor, not the manager. I actually have another title. I'm now the collector, which really fits me. I mean, I just take a baseball bat to the knees kind of guy. I've always been that. So, yeah, my title is now clerk collector.
Nice.
Sounds like something from The Sopranos.
All right, and I will wrap that up. 11 apps, 2 websites, a partridge in a pear tree. We'll see you next week. And remember to pay for what you like. See you, everybody.
This is Martin from Podnuts Pro. Thank you so much for choosing this podcast to be in your ears right now. Don't forget to support all the other Podnuts shows on the Podnuts Network. And we cannot do this without you. So please, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, email us at podnutspro@podnuts.com.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.